turn your Bible to John chapter 18, and we'll do something from the Bible. John chapter 18, we're going to pick it up in verse 33, but I'll pray first. And see if we can get the Lord to help here. Sure need it. Father, sure thank you for Wednesday nights. I thank you for this Wednesday night crowd that takes the time, makes the efforts. It's not easy to get here on Wednesday night. And I pray, Lord, that the message you've given me and the scriptures you've given me, some of them are just scriptures we've heard all the time, but Father, this is your word, and it doesn't return void, and I pray tonight that it will edify each one of us, that it will build us up, it will improve the things that we do, it will change the way we live, and Father, that we'll walk out of here being glad that that you got involved in this message tonight, and it did us some good, and I pray that that happened, Lord, and the only way that'll happen is if you do the work, and so I pray that you would. I also lift up Pastor and Ann as they have to, you know, they don't have any luggage. They're making arrangements to spend the night in Seattle. And I just pray that you'd make that, make it something they can be glad they got stuck there, Lord. Give them some kind of blessing tonight that would signify a job well done on all these preaching events he's had the last couple of weeks. And Father, I'm thankful that his cold and all that is on the downslide and he's actually feeling better. And thank you for stepping in with that, and just thank you for taking care of him, and pray that you'd get him here safely. And Father, we just ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage, this is a familiar passage to all of us. This is when Jesus Christ is fixing to stand before Pilate and be judged. And we're just going to read a little bit of this and then look at something that I truly believe the Lord wants us to look at. Verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? What is truth? You know, whenever I read the Bible, I try my best to put myself in the passage where that I can see the folks that are there, try to understand the things that are happening around, trying to understand the moment. And I was sitting down thinking today, what a responsibility. What would you do? You're Pilate. You're Pilate. And you know, what you say is go. You're going to make the judgment. And they've just brought a man in front of you, and they're mad because he's claiming to be God, and he is God. And if ever a man, had the truth standing there looking him in the face, it was Pilate. I mean, he had the truth. The Bible says, I am the way, the life, and the truth. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Pilate stood right there and had the absolute perfect example, perfect everything of truth standing right in front of him, and he asked, what is truth? What would you have done in that situation? I got to thinking, because it's easy to say, oh, well, I would have said, what are y'all crazy? This is the Messiah. No. You got to put yourself in the position of Pilate. And, he had been warned by his wife. She had a dream and said, don't be messing with this guy. This is for real. And so what is truth is what he said. And I just thought that is quite a statement, especially when you've got truth standing there in front of you. In the verse before, he said, to this was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. And then from that, I got to thinking, as Bible believers, in a Wednesday night crowd, I mean, you guys know what truth is. This means yes. Yeah, okay. It's not a trick question. Nobody can come up here and pull out a Bible and start kind of like pulling the wool over your eyes. You guys that read your Bibles, you guys hear preaching, you guys are in to the truth. And so the question is, Pilate had just a heck of a responsibility that day, okay? And we know what he did with it. But we as Bible-believing Christians with a King James Bible in your lap, we've got quite a responsibility sitting in your lap. We count that as a blessing, and it's an instruction book, and it's a place to go when you're at your wit's end. It's a place to go when you're looking for wisdom. It's all those kind of things, but it's also a huge responsibility. It's the truth. And it's a huge responsibility. And what are we as Christians supposed to do with the truth? What are we supposed to do with the truth? So I want to just look at some things that the Lord showed me about this, and see if some of this is just very routine. I mean, this is not a discipleship class with a bunch of new Christians that don't know their Bible. But there's a bunch of verses here, and I just want you to keep in mind that we're trying to see what we as Christians, what's our responsibility. I mean, we're going to stand before God and give an account. And to whom much is given is much required. And much has been given us in the truth. And we want to see what we're supposed to do with it. Go to 3 John, the third epistle of John. John 3, right before Jude. John 3, look at verse 1. The Bible says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, who I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John talks about two points about truth in these four verses. And the first one he mentions is the truth that is in thee. So, first of all, the truth ought to be in you. It ought not just in your lap. The truth ought to be in you. And, of course, that has a lot to do with having the Holy Spirit inside of you. Turn to John chapter 16. The truth has got to be in you to begin with. Yeah, if you're going to do anything with it, you got to have it in you. John chapter 16, verse 13. The Bible says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, the Holy Spirit resides in each one of us as being born-again Christians, and he is our guide to the truth. He's the guide to the truth. He's the reason, if there's any reason, that you're going to get anything out of what I say tonight or any of these scriptures or any of your Bible reading at home or any of the sermons you hear, if there's anything that you get out of that, you can count the reason for the Holy Spirit, because that's what guides you to that truth. That's what guides a sinner to want to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, is because the Holy Spirit's doing a work in that man's life and drawing him to a position where he can find the truth. You're in John 16, flip over to John 14, verse 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, by the way, he's already sent him, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So we've got the Holy Spirit that guides us to all truth and teaches us all truth. So really, when Pastor gets up here, or Tony gets up here, or I get up here, or any other man gets up here, we quote and use this Bible as a reference. We count on the Holy Spirit being able to do the work between me getting these words and getting them out and getting them to you. The Holy Spirit takes this truth and gets it in you. You see, I can throw the truth at you all day, but the Holy Spirit is the one that guides you and teaches you. And of course, we went to John, I quoted John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. You know, this truth, the word, it's what sanctifies you. It's what sets you apart. It's what cleans you up. It's what makes you able to be used by God. All of this is based on truth, and it's got to be in you. Turn to 1 Timothy. I want to show you one more thing about this. Truth needs to be in you. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul's given Timothy some instructions here in chapter 6, and we're going to read some of it just to get some context. Chapter 6, verse 1, let as many servants as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine not, be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let him not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefits. These things teach and exhort. He's trying to give Timothy some things to teach and exhort. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's that truth, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and look at this, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Destitute of the truth. Destitute of the truth. You know, many, many times, and we get up here and we pray before we preach or before we teach a lesson, we pray, Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God. And of course, we all understand that you got all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get when you got saved. And it's not one of these charismatic things where I need to get stricken and slain in the Spirit and I get a little extra dose. No. Filled with the Spirit simply means get as much of the Holy Spirit into me, and there's only so much volume in me, so I need to get other stuff out so that everything that's in me is controlled and directed and guided and taught and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So, I know not too many of y'all get up in the pulpit and do these kind of things, but if you want to try to do it and do it and have God do the work, there's a sanctification part where you really try to get with God before you get up here and do this. You can try it the other way, and it's not pretty. But you get with God, and what you do is you try to go ahead and confess and get all that stuff out so that God can get in and do the work. And what this verse is talking about is being destitute of the truth. And it's the same way, you need that Holy Spirit filling you, but you need to be filled with the truth. You need this truth in you. And when you've got other things in there, you're destitute of the truth. You're not using the truth the way that God wants us to. So the first thing he said there in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, mentions two points about the truth. He said the truth should be in you. But what we're going to spend our time on the rest of this time that I have here is this part where he said you should walk in the truth. Walk in the truth. Because that's where the rubber hits the road. I don't have any concern that this crowd here tonight has got the truth in them. Every one of you are as far, you know, I guess the only ones that truly know is God and the devil, whether you're saved or not. But everyone in here is a professing full-time Christian, okay? And you have the Holy Spirit working in you. You've got access to the truth. You've got all those things. So we're not going to worry about it. But this Wednesday night crowd, this is a crowd that we need to, if nothing else, be examples. But we all need to tune up every once in a while. We need to understand what is this walking in truth, walking in truth. Well, the first thing, turn to 1 Timothy. You're in 1 Timothy. To go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Walking in the truth. Look in verse 4. The first part of that is all we remember is about praying for all the authority and so that you can live a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. But look in verse 4. Who will have all men, talking about God, will have all men to be saved. And look at this. Come unto the knowledge of the truth. You know what? The first thing, if you're going to walk in the truth, you need to know the truth. Sounds pretty basic. You need to know the truth. And when you get saved, that's when your education begins in truth. Because everything that you've learned up in life up till then, the credits don't count. Y'all go to college and took a class and you find out it didn't count when you transferred somewhere. How about that, Cade? You do that? You went to Rice and took a few classes and you go to Kingsville and guess what? Zero. Well, that's the way it is when you get saved. All that education that you had before about life and about truth, it don't matter. You start learning truth and after salvation, your learning begins. And, the way that you do that and I know a lot of you may look at, you don't need to be telling me this. Well, God told me to tell you, so just get over it. Okay? The way that you're going to know the truth is you've got to read that Bible. Okay? I mean, we keep hammering that. I mean, the College and Crib Young Families class, they're about ready to stone me because it's a part of every lesson. But through experience, I know this to be a fact, that you're not going to learn this book. You can listen to tapes. You can listen to sermons. You can come in here and get all the Bible lessons that you want. But I guarantee you, if you want to know the truth, it's going to take you, God's words, and the Holy Spirit. That's where you actually get what you know about the truth. Okay? And the more that you get in this book, and I've told my class before, you know, even, I don't care, you've heard it before, if you know, I got this list, and on my list today is read 2 chapters of the Bible, and read Proverbs of the Day, and as soon as I get through that, then I can start doing the stuff that really counts. And so you get to the Bible, and you sit down, and you read the 2 chapters, you don't get snot out of it, okay? You came 2 minutes later, you couldn't tell anybody what you just read, and then you go through Proverbs, because you read that once a day every month, and that's just kind of old news, and then you can check it off. Okay? And you think that you think you've done good. Well, you know what? You've done better than 99.9% of the population. Okay? You just ate some truth. You may have not really studied it. You may have not really enjoyed it. But you know what? You did better than most. You got some of it in you. And it's still gonna do you some good because my word does not return void. Okay? You cannot eat this stuff and read this stuff without getting something out of it. And it will build up and build up, and one day, it'll count. Think about if you actually go to this and actually want to learn something. You actually sit down with God and say, thank you, Lord, I've got an hour here. Man, read your Bible for an hour? Woo! I'm not going to get in to pray for an hour because that's a high mountain, okay? But how about just sit down and read this book for an hour? And how about just sitting down and saying, Lord, you know, I've been checking that thing off and you've been watching me. And every once in a while I fudge, you know. I get to First Chronicles and, yeah. Or I get the numbers and those first six verses, I mean six chapters, I mean over and over and over and over, you know. So I kind of run through that. I don't know why you even put it in the book, but, you know, you talk to God and you get all, and he knows all this stuff. But I'm gonna tell you, if you'll just go to your Father sincerely and say, Lord, sit down with me. I want you to read this book to me. I'm gonna look at the words. I'm gonna mouth the words. But you know what? I want that truth. I want to know that truth. And you are the one that wrote it. You're the one that can show me. And that's where you're going to learn this Bible. That's where you're going to get that truth, where that you know it. Now, it's great to come Wednesday night and hear somebody speak about it and come to Sunday school and get it. And I encourage you, every time the doors open, if there's a fellowship, if there's anything, I mean, if we have a work day, come, because we pray, and guess what? Somewhere along the line, we're going to talk about the Lord. It's the wildest thing. You're going to get something out of everything that you do here. But truly, I cannot express enough that if you want to walk in truth, you got to know the truth, and that's where you find out. That's where you end up knowing the truth, is getting with God and doing it daily, taking baby steps. Don't get up here and decide, okay, well, Randy, man, that's right. I need to start reading that Bible. And so tomorrow, I'm going to read 10 chapters. I'm going to read 10 pages a day. Do the old Sam Gip thing. I'm going to read 10 pages a day. And I'm, you know, how well did all your New Year's resolutions turn out for you? You know what I mean? You set goals that you can't keep. Okay? How about just whatever, if you read the Bible today, how about trying tomorrow just to read it with an attitude, I want God, I want you to read this thing to me, and I want you to show me something here I need to know. And I tell you what, by the authority of this book and by the experience that God has showed me, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. That's the way to know the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Walking in the truth. You got to know the truth. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Paul's going on about some, horrible guys that of this sort, that they which creep into houses and lead captive women, silly women laden with their sins, led away to divers lusts. Look at verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, that's another thing, and it's rampant, and it's something that I'm going to mention because you need to be careful of it. In our circles, in our camps, whatever you want to call it, you know, our King James Bible believing folks, two things happen. And it's tied to this ever learning and never able to come to the truth. Number one is, we start getting, you know, knowledge puffeth up, the Bible says. And so we get where we know a lot of Bible, and God has blessed you with knowing a lot of Bible, and God has blessed you with a pastor that knows lots of Bible and is able to teach it in a way that's easy to eat and easy to absorb. And you start getting puffed up about your Bible. And you start getting where, you know, nobody can teach you anything. You get unteachable. Okay? And so that's something that you need to be aware of. Always, you know, humility. When you ask God to help read that Bible to you, tell him to give you some humility. That'll work real good with that Bible reading. You got to be careful of that. People will start, and it's not. Don't go to Mardell's and start. There's more self-help bookshelves than there is King James Bible books. Okay, the problem with that is, this is a man that has a remedy. And he goes to the Bible to find a verse that will confirm his remedy. You may as well just go to the Bible and get the truth. Okay? Instead of getting some man's remedy. Be real careful with self-help books. Turn to Acts chapter 17. This knowing the truth. Acts chapter 17, Paul is in Athens. And this is when he goes to Mars Hills. But he meets some people, some Stoics and some Epicureans. And I just want to show you verse 21. It says, for all the Athenians and strangers which were spent their time in nothing else but, look at this, either to tell or to hear some new thing. to tell or to hear some new thing. That's one of the things that's rampant in our circles is you get pumped up in this Bible and you get where you know everything, and now you're going to start knowing everything that's in between the verses. Or you're going to come up with some new doctrine because you're really smart, and you get in a dark room and you start looking and you can find all kinds of real goofy things in the Bible. And all you want to find them, you're not going to find them because it's going to do any good. You're going to find them for this reason, so that you can tell or hear something new. There's a sickness with that. And I just want to tell you to avoid that. When you stay with the basic, sweet, bread and butter of the Word of God. You don't need to go find out anything. The truth is the truth, and the good, simple truth is the best stuff. So the first thing, I got 10 of these. No, I don't have 10 of these. But to walk in truth, the first thing is you need to know the truth. Look at the second thing, 2 Thessalonians. To walk in the truth, you need to know the truth. And I like teaching and preaching to a crowd that knows the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I need to get there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit," look at this, "and belief of the truth." If you're going to walk in the truth, you've got to know it, first of all. You've got to know the truth. The second thing is you've got to believe it. You've got to believe it. And there is a difference between knowing a thing and believing a thing. Okay? Head knowledge of something is nice and fine, but believing it and staking and whether you like it or not, believing it is another thing. There's a lot of folks that will know a head knowledge of what the Bible says about something, about a sin or about some circumstance. But when it comes to them, then they have a hard time believing that thing actually means that or this. You know, well, let me show you an example. Acts chapter 10. I think I got the wrong. Let's see. I got a typo. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 9. You've heard this verse. "That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." There are lots and lots and lots of people that know in their head about Jesus dying for their sins, but they don't believe it in their heart, and the belief part of it is where they fail. They don't believe the truth. We go on the ships. Milton had them yesterday on the ship. You can go up to a young man and you can ask him, "Do you understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins?" They will look you right in the eye, and with all the conviction of the world, they know that here. You ask them how, and then are they going to get to heaven? And they say, "Well, I got to keep the law. I got to be a good person. They don't believe." You know, we tell them what Jesus Christ has already done for them. They know all that. They've heard it. They know it. It's in their head, but the actual believing it is not. And so, having the truth and believing the truth are complete. You know, James, you don't have to go there. James 2:19 for your notes. The devils believe in God, but it's not anything that does them any good. You know, so this knowing the truth and believing the truth. I believe truly. I'm preaching to the choir. I believe you guys know this Bible. You know the truth that's in it. The truth is in you. and you not only know it, but you believe it. That doesn't mean you got to like it. And there's some things that God shows me in this book about me, and I just don't like it. But that it's still the truth. It's still the truth. Third thing, if you're going to walk in the truth, you got to know the truth. You got to believe the truth. And Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. The last of the T's right before Hebrews. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. You've got to, if you're going to walk in the truth, you got to know the truth. You got to believe the truth. You got to acknowledge the truth. You got to acknowledge the truth. You know, acknowledging truth, God, he actually says it here, which is after godliness. God really likes it when we acknowledge the truth. And once again, that doesn't mean you have to like it. It means you just have to acknowledge. You know, in the Garden of Eden, here's Adam and Eve, and they have sinned, and they hear God, and so they go hide. Do you think for a second God didn't know where they were at? But he asked, "Where art thou?" Right? Why? Because he wanted Adam to acknowledge the truth. He wanted a confession here. He wanted Adam to acknowledge the truth. You know, God, you know, I don't know how many times, to encourage y'all to, when God gets a hold of you out there about something, you know, if you make a trip to this altar and actually truly get with God, you are pleasing God. Because you are acknowledging that you got me. You know what you're acknowledging? I'm wrong and you're right. God likes hearing that. God blesses that kind of thing. That is true repentance. That is the thing that God really, really accepts and likes. That is the definition of acknowledging the truth, is when it puts itself in your face, you go, "You're right and I'm wrong." And that's one of the hardest things for each one of us to do, because many of us aren't even truthful with ourselves. So it's real hard to be truthful with God. Okay, we run around trying to fool ourselves. What we do is we justify our sin, and we's in there. You know, we say, "I can't help it. I can't help it." You know, the truth of the Bible. You know, it's got to be in you. You got to know it. You got to believe it. You got to acknowledge it. Okay. The truth of the Bible is you're supposed to, when your children do not obey commands, the Bible says you're supposed to sit them in the happy chair and you're supposed to try to convince them that what they did was not nice and that next time they shouldn't do it like that. Right? No. The Bible says something completely different. And I can give you a whole list of verses of what the Bible says, okay? And that's the truth. And because of, and I understand it, because of circumstances, because of the way that you were dealt with by your parents, because of what you've seen Dr. Phil say on TV, because of all kinds of issues, you decide to make your own set of little standards here, and you're going to decide to do it your way. Well, you know what you're doing is you're not acknowledging the truth. You're doing it your way and not God's way. Okay? Now I've beat up on anybody that's not whipping their kids. Okay? Let me see who else I can get here. How about, do we want to do speeding? I don't know. God says that we should obey the laws that we're given, you know, and then, you know, we buy a radar detector and stick it on the dash. Stick it low, you know. But the problem with all of this is we justify our sin. That's human nature, to justify your sin. When you justify your sin, you're not acknowledging the truth. Today, you know, we call it a fault or a bad habit or a disease or an accident. You know, no, it's sin. We call fornication, we call that an affair. we call bearing false witness, you know, lying. You know what we call that? It's a fib. A fib. We call stealing. They got a real good new one for stealing now. It's repurposing. Yeah. I was just repurposing that. Yeah, it's that sounds a lot better, doesn't it? It's stealing. And pornography, well, that's art. That's art. It's an art form. That, what that is just the opposite of what God is pleased with. It's just the opposite of godliness. It's not acknowledging the truth. And if you're going to walk in the truth, you've got to know the truth, you've got to believe the truth, and you've got to acknowledge the truth. And the fourth thing is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. But I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man, conscience in the sight of God. The next thing you need to do, you need to know it, you need to believe it, you need to acknowledge it, and you, my friend, need to manifest the truth. There ought to be something produced after all of this. After all of this, knowing the truth and believing it and acknowledging, there's something that gets manifested in this, that gets that starts to show up. Go back to 3 John. I want to show you something there in verse 12. We looked at the first four verses talking about truth. Something ought to be manifest when you really start walking in the truth. It ought to show. It ought to be seen. Look in verse 12. 3 John, verse 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Truth is testifying of Demetrius' testimony. It shows. It shows. You know, when we, as Bible believers, when we walk in the truth, we acknowledge the truth, we know the truth, we bear witness of the truth, it's going to show up, and it's going to show up to others, especially those that are not Bible-believing Christians. But the point I want to really get to is it shows up to each one of us. I mean, I grow seeing others that truly in this church walk in the truth. I get something out of that. By being around them, I get to see that this stuff works. It encourages me in reading the Bible. You know what I mean? It's a real blessing to be around folks that really put their heart and their soul into reading that book, believing that book, knowing that book, acknowledging the truth, and trying to do it the way God wants to do it. Boy, there's a great thing, and that's something that each one of us should be helping each other with. I mean, we always say, you know, Tony said it the other day, and I'm not... it's true. You know, and some people, when they look at you, that might be the only Jesus they ever see. Or that might be the only Bible they ever hear. But you know what? Let's start in the house of God first. I mean, we're examples to each other in this church. And we need to make sure that, forget about them out there. Let's be good examples to each other. Let's get to walking in the truth. So that we can help each other along the way. That, you know, if the Lord tarries, things are not going to be too sweet. They're already not too sweet at Walmart. I mean, imagine how it's going to be when it gets ugly. But we got each other. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we should be manifesting the truth. If not just to each other. Look at, I want to show you a verse, Psalm 71. Yeah, you do all this walking in the truth, and I guarantee you it's going to start showing up. Psalm 71, look at verse 18. This is a verse that the Lord gave me when Bevins Welder told me that I need to teach the college career class. I looked back at him like he needed to go get back with God and do some more praying about this thing. Okay, Because you have made a huge mistake, and God is going to get you for it. And you need to go back and do some more praying and do some more reading and figure these things out. And then I go to reading my Bible that day, and verse 18 pops out at me of Psalm 71. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, you can put in ball-headed in there. O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Every one of y'all have that same responsibility. You have got the truth. You know the truth. You acknowledge the truth. The truth is bearing witness in your life right now. It's manifesting. And you know what our responsibility is? Pass it on. We got the responsibility to pass it on to those kids that are next door. We got the responsibility to pass it on to the kids that are in the back in the nursery. We got the responsibility to pass it on to each other in here. That's everybody's in a different, we're all in a different, stage of this Christian life. And we've got a responsibility. Turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, look in verse 8. Did I get another typo? No, this will work. Psalm 78:8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that setteth not their hearts aright, whose spirit... Nah, that's the wrong verse. Okay, hang on. These typos, these last ones. 78:4. 4 works better. I know it in the Bible, just putting it on my notes is bad. 78:4. Try this one. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. Every one of us has our responsibility. I don't care if it's John Sullivan in here. There's folks that are following him that it's his responsibility to manifest the truth in his life and to show it to somebody else. Show it to somebody else. One more thing and we'll stop. Go to Matthew chapter 5. And once again, I don't know. I went to Matthew chapter 5 the other day when I was preaching and I explained. I understand all the context and la-da-da-da-da. But there's a verse here that spiritually is just okie-dokie fine. Okay? It's the truth. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. That truth is a light. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the light of the world, or John, whatever. I ain't going to do the rest. But you know what I'm saying. This light is like a light. And verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, see that truth, and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That's all of our responsibility, is to manifest the truth in your life, pass it on to the other generations, and then let that light shine. And not so they glorify you, or not so they glorify this church, or not so they glorify anything else but God the Father. God the Father. So that is quite a challenge for all of us to walk in the truth. We need to know it. We need to believe it. We need to acknowledge it. And we need to manifest it. And I pray that has something there that God can help you with. I know it helped me. Father, I thank you for the opportunity once again to stand in our pastor's pulpit. I thank you for giving me the truth. I pray that tonight I preached the truth. And I pray that your truth will go and sanctify those that have heard it, and that we can work together and pass it on to other generations. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.